Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Open your Bibles to Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. That will be our text for this morning. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. As you're turning there, I just want to say that I'm so grateful for a church that prays. I'm so grateful for a church that opens their Bible every single Sunday. Last week, Pastor Micah preached a sermon out of Romans 10 about how every believer, every Christian is to be always on a mission. And then during his sermon, he showed a video of God's glory in my life and in my wife's life and in our marriage. So by now, you know everything about me except for my favorite color, which is blue, by the way. Which is blue. And what you probably saw in the video was honesty and transparency, but what you probably didn't catch or know is how much fear and worry and doubt I have on this journey. And it happens more often than I want to admit, if I could be completely honest with you guys. You guys know in May, this past May, my wife and I went on a vision tour to Hawaii, and when we hit the ground in Oahu, I cannot begin to explain to you the fear and the doubt that flooded me while I was there. I was so shaken that my wife and I engaged a local lady when we were having lunch, and I was completely speechless. I was mumbling my words, and my wife led the conversation. That's how scared and fearful I was. And if I could be honest with you, it's not that God, I don't question that God is calling me to church plant or to be a pastor. What floods me is, how is this going to happen? Should I have talked to them instead of them? Should I have done this instead of that? And that's what floods me. And especially in those moments, I come to realize that no matter how much strength and courage I try to muster up in myself to follow the Lord, it's always not enough. I need strength and courage that is beyond myself. And I've come to accept that. I need strength and courage that no matter how much I try to muster it, I know it will fall short. So I need it beyond myself. And as I was praying and getting ready this week, I have this burden that I'm not the only one in this room. I'm not the only one in this room that has this burden for strength and courage that's beyond myself, because you may be one who desires and genuinely love the Lord and you want to go deeper, but you just can't for some reason. You feel called to something, but you can't, because no matter how much you try, it's not enough to actually obey and go with it. Last week, Pastor Micah preached Always on Mission. And you were sitting in your chairs and you heard this and you're excited and you're compelled and you're like, I want to play my part in the body of Christ. But at the same time, you're freaking out. You're freaking out because you don't know how to go about that. So in our time together, my hope and my prayer is that you will receive this strength and courage that is beyond yourself. You will receive the strength and courage that will go not just here, but beyond these four walls. So with that said, our big idea this morning is God provides strength and courage through your meditation on His Word. God provides strength and courage through your meditation on His Word. You should be open to Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory.
Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for everyone here. I pray, Father, that you bless the reading and the preaching and the receiving of your word this morning. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do and help us to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, let me give you a brief background to bring us up to speed. We just got done with an Abraham series you guys know about from Genesis. And in that, we learned that there's a threefold covenant that God makes with Abraham. It's offspring, land, and blessing. And with the offspring, God's people goes from 70 to millions. From 70 to millions. And in that, it brings us to the land, to our text right now, because they traveled through, and it brings us to our text where we're at now. And some important things happen. They're right by the Jordan River. They're right by the Jordan River, about to cross it to go into this promised land. And another thing that is important that happened is that Moses, their hero, dies. Moses, their hero, passes away. So as we dive into this passage and unpack what the Lord has for us, there's three points that I want to state. Point number one is this. God is a promise keeper. God is a promise keeper. Let's look at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said. Let me pause right there really quick. The Lord speaks. He spoke, speaks, and will continue to speak. The question is, will you listen? Will you set aside everything right now and listen to the word of the Lord? And when he speaks, we can even hear him. Not audibly necessarily, but beyond these walls, because of his living and active Holy Spirit-inspired word of God. I heard it said, when you pray, you talk to God. When you read his word, he talks to you. So the Lord speaks. Going further, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Let's unpack that for a little bit. Now, Joshua is, he's the son of Nun. And Nun is a descendant of Ephraim, who is one of the 12 tribes. And he's Moses' assistant. Now, let's unpack what Moses' assistant means in the scriptures, describing Joshua. Joshua was an attendant of Moses from his youth. He was one of the 12 that spied out the land. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, came back and reported a report that was obedient to the word, while the other 10 were scared. Joshua was indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and Joshua followed the Lord fully. There's two verses I want to share about Joshua that describes him that really resonates. Exodus 33:11 says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. So after Moses comes and meets with the Lord face to face and leaves, Joshua is still at the tent, because he longs to be in the presence of the Lord. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit and full of wisdom for Moses had laid his hands on him. Moses commissioned Joshua for this task. So as we describe Joshua, he is full of the Spirit. He is following Moses, following a leader, and he longs to be in the presence of the Lord. So when God picked Joshua, God picked him and Joshua equipped himself. He was full of the Spirit, longed to be in the presence of the Lord, and followed Moses. What we would call that today, he was being discipled from his youth. Now let me ask you this. Would your leaders describe that of you? Full of the Spirit. You long to be in the presence of the Lord. And that you're following someone who's following Christ. You're being discipled. The best thing about Joshua is that he was an ordinary person. Every single one of us in this room are sinners, and so is Joshua. But yet, I can't imagine Joshua how scared he must be replacing Israel's hero. Thinking, man, am I going to be as effective? What's going to happen? Will I make a mistake? The beauty in who Joshua is with this passage is that God uses ordinary people who are willing to trust and obey him. We see in verse 2, we see God's promise revealed. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. So this land, Joshua's not going to take it. The Lord's going to give it to him. The Lord's going to give it to him. We go further. God unpacks his promise in verse 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Just as I promised to Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So we see how God is a promise keeper, and he's explaining the details of his promise. When he makes his promises, he shares with you insight that is for you as you're on this mission for him. And because he's a God of the details, he knows everything about you. What you did yesterday, what you did this morning, what you shouldn't have done last week. He knows it all and still loves you. What I want us to get from this point is God and that he is a promise keeper. The truth is, promises are only as strong or valid as the promise maker. You guys got people in your life that like, man, you know what? I promise I'll do this or I'll be there. And you know well enough. I'm like, yeah, sure. Huh? You guys know that they say it, but it won't come to pass. But God is not like that. God is not like that. Because Hebrews 13:8 says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. It says all the promises of God are yes in him. Because he's a promise keeper. And to pack some more, your experiences with promises leaves a bitter taste in your mouth because you've experienced so many broken promises. Let me remind you of some truths from God's word. Luke 18:19 says, no one is good but God. No one is good but God. And you guys know the famous Romans 3:10, no one is righteous, not one. And then you read further in chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. Because only God is the promise keeper. Gospel City, let me ask you this. What promises of God that you need to hold on to? Could it be Philippians 1:6 where it says, he who began a good work will see it to completion? You've been in a rut, no matter what you're going through. He will see you through complete. He will see the work he's began to completion. I love John 10, verse 28 and 29. Says, no one will pluck you out of his hand. No matter how rough a day you're having, how rough a year you're having, whatever season you're in, no one will pluck you from his hand. I love Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, where it says, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit for the guaranteed inheritance that is in Christ. I heard a professor share that the engagement ring for God's people is a person in the Holy Spirit. I can't wait for the wedding day where we get to be with Christ. Now, what's better than a promise keeper? It is when the promise keeper is with you. Point two, God is with you. Everybody say it with me. God is with you. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Man, if I was Joshua, I'd probably walk around bowed up, arms in the sky. Because no man shall be able to stand before you. Now, does this mean Joshua is special? Does it mean that he has some kind of special Avenger power? Does he turn into the Hulk? Anybody catch that? Maybe two of you. Right? Of course not. That's not what it means. So how can it be that no man shall stand against him? Read the rest of that verse. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That is why no man shall stand against Joshua, because the Lord is with him. This means that no man, no circumstance, no emergency, nothing is going to keep Joshua from accomplishing what God promised for his people. And this is only by God's doing, because God is greater than all. The Creator is greater than the creation. Now, what we got to understand is, what was it like that the Lord was with Moses? Because it says, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, he tells Joshua. Let's unpack that, what the Bible says. The Lord was with Moses relationally. He had that relationship, that intimacy with the Lord. You guys know in Exodus 3 where he appears in the burning bush talking with Moses. And then in Exodus 33, where they go into the tent, we just mentioned verse 11 from it. He's talking to the Lord face to face. That's how he was with Moses, and he's going to be like that with Joshua. Another one, the Lord was with Moses through his divine powers. You guys know the 10 plagues. And then after they get delivered, they come to the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea. That's how he was with Moses. The Lord was with Moses, meeting his needs. All of his needs. They were in the wilderness. They didn't have Lunchables. They didn't have a PB&J, as easy as it is to make. So God gave them manna from heaven and water from the rock. He was a cloud by day and a fire by night, met their every need. All that to say that the Lord was with Moses. So what does it mean when the Lord tells Joshua, I will be with you? This means everything for the mission. This means everything for Joshua's life. Joshua's going to have that relationship that he so desperately wants, that intimacy he's going to need for the mission. He's going to need God's divine power to do it. Every day, God will perform miracles on Moses' behalf. Joshua's like, you're going to be that for me. You're going to do that for me. And his needs. He's going to meet Joshua's needs the same way he met Moses' needs. And the beauty of being on this side of salvation in Christ, being in the new covenant, is that the Lord is not just with you, he is in you. You have the Holy Spirit that you're sealed with. So in all the ways that the Lord was with Moses, and the Lord was with Joshua, the Lord is with you. Do you feel alone? Do you feel like you need that relationship to where, man, I need someone to encourage me right now? And you know what? You go through your contacts, and for some reason, that's not enough. Your best friend is not enough. Whatever your spouse says is not enough. Guess what? The Lord is with you. Are you in a circumstance where you need a miracle to happen? I can't get through this unless, Lord, you work and act. Guess what? The Lord is with you. You're probably in a season where finances are lower than ever. Your business that was thriving for years is finally going down, and whatever the case may be. And you need someone to meet your needs. Guess what? The Lord is with you. The ending of that verse 5, it says, I will not leave you or forsake you. Basically saying, the Lord said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I got four little ones. So I need strength and courage. But in the middle of the night, so often, my kids would run to me and jump in my arms because they're scared. And I can feel the trembling and the tears and the anxiety. And I'm holding them. But as soon as I say, I'm not going anywhere, as soon as I say, I'm not leaving, I got you. Me, a fallen sinner, can feel the fear and the anxiety leave their bodies because they're so at peace that daddy's not going anywhere. And they just fall right back to sleep. How much more the Lord, when you hear him say, I am with you. I'm not going anywhere. Brings us to our last point. Strength and courage comes from God through your meditation on his word. Strength and courage comes from God through your meditation on his word. We just talked about how God is a promise keeper and how God is with you and how God's going to give him all of this. God's going to accomplish the mission. So what incarnations does Joshua have to be strong and courageous for if God's going to do it all? Why would we have to be on mission if God's going to do it all? And we hear it starting in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua is going to deliver them. And we use this language. Why? Because this is simply saying, God's saying, Joshua, I'm going to use you. That's all it says. Be strong and courageous because I'm going to use you. Yeah, I'm going to do it all, but I'm going to use you. Joshua is not to be strong and courageous in himself. He is to be strong and courageous in the Lord. And we hear it in Ephesians 6 as well. We hear it in Ephesians 6 where Paul writes in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. God is going to use Joshua to fulfill his promise to his people because he is a promise keeper and he will be with Joshua. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses commanded him. Joshua is to be strong and very courageous. Other versions say, above all, be strong and very courageous in obeying the commands that Moses commanded him. In other words, remember what your leader commanded you. Remember what the person who discipled you commanded you, and not just remember it, but do it. Because ultimately, what Moses commanded Joshua was what God commanded Moses. So ultimately, what it is God who commanded Moses and now is commanding Joshua. It all comes back to God. These commands that Joshua was to be careful to do was not simply a set of facts to be known, but rather a life that was to be lived. And living this life would take effort. You keep going further in that verse. It says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. This is reiterating what was just mentioned about being careful. Okay, he's like, be strong because I'm going to use you, but be careful to listen to what I command you. Be careful to obey my commands. And he's just saying here, don't turn from it to the right or to the left. He's telling Joshua, don't turn from what I've called you to do. Don't turn from my word. Don't turn from my commands. And where would Joshua turn? If he turns from the word, then he's looking at the nations around them. The nations that you're going to go and conquer, don't go and let them influence you. Don't turn from God's commands. This simply means when we turn from God's commands, that's when we succumb to our weaknesses and discouragement and faithlessness. So to kind of help us understand this, don't turn from God's word and don't turn to the election for hope, for salvation. Don't turn to success. Turn to God's word. Don't turn to rituals. Turn to God's word. Don't even turn to your spouse. Don't turn to your marriage, to your kids. Turn to God's word. And why? The rest of the verse says that you may have good success wherever you go. That you may have good success wherever you go. Now, Joshua leads them over. And, I mean, spoiler alert, Joshua gets success. They conquer the land. In Joshua chapters 1 through 5, Israel enters the land. Chapter 6 through 11, Israel takes the land. Then Joshua 12 through 22, Israel divides the land and apportions it. And then the last two chapters, Israel serves the Lord in the land. Joshua is to be careful and not turn from God's commands, not turn from his task. Remember, the Lord gave this land to them so that Joshua nor Israel could say that it was by their doing or their hands that they have the land. This is all by the Lord's hand. Because he's a promise keeper and he is with Joshua. Verse 8, this book of the law refers specifically to Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books known as the Pentateuch. And this was their holy scriptures back then. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Depart from your mouth, meaning do you just literally keep the Bible in your mouth? Or meditate on it day and night? Like, what does it have to be in my mouth? This is what a commentary says of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Therefore, it could not depart from his mouth because only by continued recitation, meditation, could he both know it and understand how to apply it. Meditate on it means to continue reflecting on its meaning, with such reflection being verbal, so that to basically say it out loud and keep saying out loud so that you would understand the meaning. Anybody here ever cram for an exam before? Just me, huh? Okay, thank you. Thank you. You guys recall cramming for the exam where you're pacing back and forth in the room and you're saying it out loud? By the way, students, do not cram for the exam. Study a week earlier, all right? But you go back and forth and you're like, okay, what do I do? Yeah, and you're saying it out loud and then your younger sibling comes in and thinks that, like, there's something wrong with you. But you're saying it out loud. Why? Because there's an importance and an emphasis on the exam and the information you're taking in. How much more the word of God, to say it out loud and recite it. That is what it means to meditate on it. There's a quote by Don Whitney that I'm going to butcher right now. Sorry, Don. But it talks about meditating like a man coming in from the cold, comes into the house and there's a fireplace on, and reading God's word would be just walking by the fireplace. But meditating on God's word is coming in from the cold and staying by the fireplace till your bones get warm, until it heats you up. And we understand that the illustration so well because we so often live by it, and but yet we use these words. You know what? I'm just not getting nothing. I'm reading it. I feel like I'm going through the motions. Are you going to continue to walk by the fireplace, or are you going to stay? Are you going to continue to just read, close, and then go on, or are you going to meditate? Are you going to verbally recite it out loud? I pray that you meditate on the word. The question can be asked about day and night. Now, see, now day and night, what that means is day and night. It means day and night. It means all day, all night, every chance you get, meditate on God's word. And we hear it so often in the New Testament too. It's the same. Colossians 3:2 says, think of heavenly things and not earthly things. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And you guys know the famous Philippians 4:8, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is just think on these things. Meditate on God's word. And there is purpose to meditating on God's word. Read the rest of the verse. Meditate on God's word so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Does that not sound familiar? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let me make this abundantly clear that prosperous and good success here does not mean material wealth. It doesn't mean problem-free days. What it means is that you get insight from God as you meditate on his word. Prosperous and good success here is gaining insights in knowing God's word and understanding how to apply God's word to our lives, and this through meditation. Listen, if you do not meditate on God's word, then you will not understand it. And if you don't understand it, then you cannot apply it to your life so that you will be prosperous and successful in what God is calling you to do. Do you want to be strong and courageous? Meditate on God's word. Do you want to be prosperous in what God's calling you to do? Meditate on God's word. Do you want to have good success in where God is calling you to go and do? Meditate on God's word. It is through the meditating on God's word where God gives insight to where you can apply God's word and live according to God's ways, where you will see and experience God do miracles. In your circumstances and in your entire life, whatever your task may be and whatever God is calling you to do, this is how you can get strength and courage, by meditating on God's word. As I aim to land this plane, the Lord ends this speech with Joshua in the famous verse 9 that we all know. Have I not commanded you? Have you guys noticed in verse 1, it says, the Lord said, and now here, God says, have I not commanded you? He goes from just, hey, I'm telling you, now I'm commanding you. You guys have kids, you guys ever tell your kids, hey, you should clean your room. Hey, go clean your room. Then after you say it 200 times, Then you go, hey, I'm not asking. I'm telling. I'm telling you to do it. I'm commanding you to do it. And if you're like me, so often as I meditate and I know what to do or what to say, I treat God's commands more like a suggestion or a preference. I get compelled by the Spirit to do something, say something, go here, and I treat it like I have an option. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For Joshua to be strong and courageous, for Joshua to not be frightened and not be dismayed, was to understand that there is no place for fear because the Lord would be with you. A commentary said of Joshua that he could accomplish the task that God has called him on when Joshua understood that his role as a leader was to journey with God, know God's instruction, and shape his life by it. And I can't help but, God, if you're going to do it on, why would I have to be strong and courageous? If he's going to do it. God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous so that Joshua would fulfill his ultimate duty for the task given to him by God. And this duty is to be on mission. And being on mission is meditating and knowing and understanding God's laws and God's ways and trusting and obeying them as God uses Joshua to fulfill God's promises by God's hand and power. Joshua is to take no credit. When you meditate on God and his commands, you see how small you are and how big he is. How could we be scared? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Gospel City, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And please hear this. Your going may be little or insignificant to someone, but it's massive to you. Because it's between you and God. Where are you going to go? Some of you, maybe you've never gone to the Lord. Maybe you know verses, but you never came into an intimate relationship with the Lord. You never came and trusted that God is holy, man is sinful. Jesus is Savior, repent and believe. You've never done that before. Maybe that's where you got to go. To forsake all of creation and come to the Creator for salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ by faith alone and by his grace. Where are you going to go? Maybe you got to deal with sin. You got to have a conversation. You got to make right. You got to confess it to the Lord. And then you get rid of and lay aside everything and the sin that so easily entangles and you run to Jesus. Maybe that's where you got to go. Maybe some of you got to go to your spouse. You got to go to your kids and say, sorry, I'm not leading well. I'm not helping well. Repent, and then you take your family and you charge for Christ. Where are you going to go? You guys want to play your part in the body of Christ, but you feel ill-equipped. But then you think, like, how can I take a class? Sign up to get discipled. Meet with somebody. This Christian walk is not a me thing, it's a we thing. Where are you going to go? Is it a short-term mission trip or a long-term mission trip? And you've been putting it on the back burner because you don't want to go because of this, this, and that. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And it's not just here. in the new covenant under Christ. He commissions us in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority has been given to Jesus. So go to all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. And behold, he will be with you to the end of the age. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and he's in you now if you're a believer, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Where are you going to go? You simply obey God's commands when you simply think and meditate on them. You obey God's commands when you meditate on God's commands. You see, obeying, it's not complicated. His commands are not complicated. It's just hard. It's hard. But he's a promise keeper and he's with you. So be strong and courageous. Here, let me close with this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I have given to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, to be careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being a promise keeper. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that through Jesus you are in us. Thank you, God, that you keep your promises in spite of who we are. Thank you that it's all of you and none of us. I pray, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Help us to get equipped. Help us to trust and obey. Help us to go wherever you called us to go. Help us to meditate on your word, for it is through the meditating of your word, by the power of your Spirit, that we can be strong and courageous to do what you called us to do. To be always on mission, wherever we go. In Jesus' name I pray.